While much of the nation speculates on who will be elected next year as the president of the United States, here in Wisconsin, there's been some attention, some speculation about who's going to be elected governor in 2018.
Speaking at an economic summit yesterday, Governor Walker had this to say about his political future.
And so we're committed not just over the next couple of years, for the next 3 years as I'm governor, if God willing, if in the future as voters, you ask me to continue to stand for 4 more years after that.
Those comments have sparked a lot of discussion around Wisconsin today. While we're 3 years away from that race for governor, gives us a lot to talk about between now and then. So if Walker decides, hey, he's going to give it another go, what would he be up against in 2018? And is this what voters in Wisconsin would really want?
Here with us now to talk about these questions and more is Charlie Jacobs. He's an associate professor of political science at St. Norbert College. Charlie, welcome back.
Thank you.
So right there, Governor Walker hinting at a possible third term, maybe pretty broad hint. It may come as a surprise, though, to people. It seemed the thinking was, as pundits sort of analyzed where he was with this failed presidential nomination, and that maybe Governor Walker's time as governor was drawing to a close. What do you make of those comments yesterday?
It's a bit surprising, only because I think really our last really sort of check-in with the governor in a meaningful way and his political aspirations was the sort of deflating end of his run for the GOP nod. And so he kind of came limping back to the state of Wisconsin, licking his wounds a bit. And I think some suspected that kind of might be a swan song, especially when you looked at some of the polls that were coming out of Marquette University, where his unfavorables were really high and his approval ratings were pretty low. So I think that we all suspected that he might be reconsidering where his political future was going. But, you know, time heals all wounds, and he gets a little perspective, and maybe the public here in Wisconsin does too. And maybe his tea leaf reading suggests to him that he's got a little bit more political life here as governor, and that might set him up for something else on the national stage in years to come.
Now, imagine if you're governor, you don't say things like that off the cuff without giving it some forethought. What do you think he was hoping to achieve by dropping that little bit yesterday?
I think for him, he's signaling constituencies that he needs to signal if he's even contemplating this kind of run. I mean, American politics now has been the race for money, and you can't sit on the sideline and hope that if you jump in very late to a race or announce a bid for a third term, that everyone is just going to scramble to your door and fill up your war chest really easily. You have to be kind of on this at all times. I mean, ask any member of the United States Senate who's literally raising thousands of dollars a day just to stay in the race. So I think part of this is to suggest to donors and to the public who might push him and support him to that run in 2018 that I am in the game and I might be coming and knocking on your door soliciting some donations from you to make me a viable and credible candidate in 3 years. Because if he sits in the sidelines, I mean, there might be somebody who creeps up behind him and he doesn't even notice it. And before long, he's got a primary and he's got to worry about a challenger with his own party as well as somebody who might creep up from the Democratic Party.
But isn't he also tipping his hand to Democrats who have more time to ready whoever might run against him?
I'm not sure if the Democrats have even really considered this in a meaningful way. I think what we've seen from the Democratic Party in Wisconsin over the last couple of years is sort of a realization that they don't have a particularly deep bench. And I think that the recruitment process is going to be rather difficult for them, especially if Walker's in the race. Because even though his numbers might be a little low, he's a daunting candidate. I mean, he's a good campaigner. He's a good politician. He runs credible races. And as you can see from the last couple of races that he's run, he's handled pretty well the Democrats and some of the best that the Democrats had to offer. So a strategic candidate on the Democratic side might actually be scared off by this kind of announcement because it might seem as though he is readying himself already for a race. And so I'm not sure whether or not somebody who is sort of preparing or thinking about the governor's race on the Democratic side is going to really decide to sort of jump in with both feet if the governor's going to run again. That doesn't seem like the strategic move by a Democrat.
I mean, on the other hand, you earlier used the phrase swan song, and Walker has seen fading poll numbers ever since that failed campaign for the presidency. Is that going to be hanging over his head in the political future? And granted, this is, you know, pretty far down the road, 2018. Do you think voters are going to move on from that, or is it something that's going to linger?
I think it depends on the kind of policies he and the legislature decide to take on, and looking sort of deeper into poll numbers, not just at Walker's poll numbers, but at some of the other concerns and some of the other policy initiatives that seem to be pressed by Republicans in the state. I think that if they can ameliorate some of the issues that really seem to be pressing among the public, that he might be able to win over some of those voters who have disappeared on him. And quite honestly, if you look at the poll numbers, he's still running very strong with Republicans. They support him overwhelmingly, and as would be expected, Democrats don't. I think what's probably alarming is how he's lost some independents. But, you know, independents are independent, and they can be persuaded more easily than partisans can. So if he starts to turn around some of these issues, job creation, issues related to transportation and transportation funding, issues related to education, I think maybe he can win back some of those voters. He's got a hole to dig out of, but I think it's something that he could possibly turn around if he's engaged in the process as he is this early.
We're talking about Governor Walker's recent comments suggesting he might run for a third term as a state's governor in the year 2018, talking with political scientist Charlie Jacobs, and we'll have more with him in just a bit.
You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. If Governor Walker were to run again, would you support him? If you're a Republican, would you want former years of Scott Walker, or do you want to see someone else from the GOP step up and make a run at the state's top office? If you're a Democrat, is there a candidate you'd like to see challenge whoever ends up on the Republican side of things in a few years? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking right now with political scientist Charlie Jacobs about Governor Walker's recent comments suggesting he might run for a third term as the state's governor in 2018. We're looking at what that could mean for the state going forward.
And you can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234. Do you see a path forward for a Walker third term? Would you support him in another governor's race? And do you think his failed presidential campaign helps or hurts his political future here in Wisconsin? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Charlie, you mentioned right before we last spoke that some issues on the agenda for Governor Walker are transportation and education, and you used the phrase he's got a hole to dig out of. Let's look at that a little more closely. How would you describe, I guess, that hole you're talking about?
I think for Walker, he's got to be cognizant of the fact that I think he entered the presidential race with the idea of sort of burnishing his reputation as a kind of a Reagan-era Republican who was protective of your property rights by lower taxation and being good steward of the public treasury. And in doing so, he wrote a budget that I think it has sort of painted the state into a corner a bit. And I think if you look at some of the data regarding, you know, the public opinion about the transportation spending and the willingness of the public to borrow to spend rather than to maybe tax our way out of that problem, might put him in a quandary. So he doesn't want to sort of represent himself as a tax and spend governor, but at the same time, some estimates are that over the next 10 years, just in maintenance costs on state roads, we're talking about $6 billion or so. And we just borrowed $350 million for some of the really pressing projects. So that's the kind of local issue. Everybody drives, or everybody's on the roads, and the more potholes that pop up and the more, you know, failed bridges that require detours really resonate with the public. And so it's these kind of local issues that he's got to be really concerned about. These are the ones I think we see in polls where people have opinions, as opposed to things like the civil service reforms that he and the legislature are proposing, and the GAB reforms, where, you know, half or more of the public have no opinion because they don't really know the context or the content of the bill. But it's these really homegrown issues like, can you vote on a referendum repeatedly for your local school district to increase funding? How are the roads when you drive to work or take your kids to school? These are the issues that he's got to worry about, and they cost a lot of money. So between now and the next election, if he really is considering running, I think those are the kinds of things he has to address with the leadership in the legislature to make sure they address them in a way that the public approves.
And do you think 3 years is enough to shore those areas up?
It may be quite difficult simply because of the way in which they've addressed some of the issues to close the budget gap that was apparent when he first came to office in 2011. And so I think that they've been very creative and they've cut where they've seen fat. But after a time, the fat gets pretty lean, and you're going to have to try to find some other ways to provide the services that the public expects. That often leads to taxation. I think that some citizens, when they look west and they see the success in Minnesota, where they are running a large budget deficit, where you're seeing Republicans and Democrats just arguing about what to do with all of the money, I think there's going to start to be a little bit of tax envy or surplus envy on the other side of our state. And that might be a consideration for the public. Why can they do it over there and we can't do it over here?
Now, looking at possible challenges to that 2018 run, should Governor Walker run? Now, in the last two gubernatorial elections and the recall election, Democrats have had a hard time finding a formidable candidate to run against Governor Walker. So does that speak to more of a weakness on the part of Democrats, or is that just speaking to the strength of Walker as a candidate?
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think you can explain it simply because the Democrats don't have anyone. I mean, they do. They have some credible candidates. But one of the things they have to understand about most candidates is that when we look at their behavior, we understand candidates as being very, very strategic. They try to plan out their political careers because, you know, you can really make an error of judgment if you jump into a race that you are almost guaranteed to lose. And if you don't have anything to fall back on, it might be the end of your political career. So a lot of candidates can be very cautious about what races they want to run and when they want to run them. So you might have somebody who would be a really good candidate against somebody like Scott Walker, but they might be fearful about what he can bring to bear in the campaign. And so they pull their punches and they don't want to throw their hat in the ring because they're just afraid they're going to lose and then they're going to become sort of this permanent backbencher in their own party and never have the opportunity to run for high office again. So I think that's one of the things that's facing. They have seen Scott Walker win three elections and win them pretty handily against candidates that I think had a credible chance against him. So I think there's going to be some fear on the Democratic side that if he does it again, if he raises that money, utilizes it well, sort of galvanizes his support again, that they're going to lose, and they don't want to do that.
So as we said, Governor Walker has tipped his hand, at least as of yesterday, this week, that he is considering looking favorably toward that 2018 run. But if he decided not to do that, what avenues might lie open to him? What are some options that he might pursue instead?
Yeah, he's always been a little coy about whether or not if a member of the Republican Party won the presidency in 2016, whether he'd be open to a position in the cabinet. And I'm not sure whether or not he's completely foreclosed that opportunity. I mean, there are some places that you can gain a really good reputation nationally and build some name recognition and prepare yourself for a future run at the White House. Now, some might say, well, that's something that Tommy Thompson tried, and it didn't work out too well for him, and maybe that's not the greatest launching pad. Maybe the seat in a governor's mansion is a much better place to do it. But I think his little stumbles that he had in this go-around might suggest to him he needs a different platform. And so maybe for him, if he doesn't run, he's hopeful that someone will come calling for him from Washington, D.C., or maybe he'll try his hand at some other national office if it becomes available.
Charlie, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Charlie Jacobs, Associate Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College. He joined us to talk about Governor Walker's recent comments, suggesting he might run for a third term as the state's governor in 2018.